Hour number two of The Blitz is live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Broadcasting on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, our podcast will be uploaded shortly. FanRunRadio.com is the best place to go find all your Tennessee Volunteers content and coverage. And then, of course, the Fan Run Radio app. And then we got the video feed on the Periscope. You already know all of that. What you also probably know is that Tennessee traveled to the Mid-State this weekend, going to play at Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, who still does not have a conference win starting at the beginning of last year. A major, major losing streak from Vanderbilt. Now, I told you at the beginning of the day, or at the beginning of the hour, that they did have a streak snapped. It obviously wasn't this conference losing streak. Brandon, what was it?
So Vanderbilt had made at least one three-pointer
since they had been recorded ever.
In every game since the three-point line was implemented into college basketball, which I believe was 1987.
87, that's what I was going to
say.
It was
like over 1,000
games. Which is 1,080 games.
Wow!
And that streak ended on Saturday night.
They go 0 for 25.
And they're sorry, just sad sack fans.
Go off.
Were so mad.
Yeah.
Oh, they were so mad. They wanted that streak so badly. So badly. They were booing their own team for making layups. They were booing. You've not won a conference game since the start of last year, and you're booing your team because they're not shooting threes? I bet they didn't. I bet their Vanderbilt didn't even know. They didn't even know.
Got your tongue tied. You're so mad.
They didn't even know that. They probably didn't know that the 3-point streak was even on the line.
Oh, I bet by the end of it, I bet it was circulating around, especially within like the student section.
It seemed like
because
they knew.
You could tell they. I mean, when somebody would go for the three, everybody just was holding their breath. You could tell that they were just waiting for that one shot to go in. That one shot never happened.
They couldn't get it in the hole on Saturday night.
Other than that, Tennessee wins the game 66-45. And really, another tale of two halves here. Tennessee scores 21 points in the first half. Just looked abysmal. Had as many turnovers as you did field goals at the number 10, and then the second half hits. Both teams rallied a little bit in the second half, but Tennessee just went bonkers, scoring 45 points in the second half. Vanderbilt only scored 25, and again, that gets you to your final score. Vols 66, Commodores 45.
Yeah, Tennessee scored 45 in the second half. The total was 41 for both teams in the first half. That first half, it was tough to watch.
Tennessee scored as many points in the second half as Vanderbilt did in the whole game.
Yeah, it was tough to watch in the first half, though. There was no scoring happening.
Yeah, I mean, Vanderbilt just, they didn't have any fight left in the second half. One thing I thought was promising was Jordan Bowden having 21.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, he may go back to only scoring 6, seven. 10, 12. He may go back to that next game, but at least, I mean, maybe this game can kind of be a spark that kind of ignites him and he gets back into that scoring mentality and is able to get the, I mean, he went 7 for 11 from the floor, 0 for 2 from 3, but still, good for him to see shots go through the basket. Fulkerson had 12, including the monster slam from Fulky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Send it in, big fella.
I'll tell you what as well. I mentioned a little while ago how I was watching the Tennessee-Kentucky game from the SEC tournament last year. One thing, the difference in John Fulkerson from last year to this year is unbelievable. Just from the way that he plays on the court, from the way that he carries himself, to his look, his appearance, it is all completely different. I had totally forgotten that he ended the season with like a buzz cut last year. I was watching the highlights. I was like, who the hell is that? Is Brad Woodson on the court against Kentucky in the SEC tournament? I was like, oh my God, that's John Fulkerson. I forgot when he didn't have the long-haired mop.
He is one that might need to stick with a buzz cut.
I disagree.
Hey, what are you talking about?
Yeah, bad take, Fish.
Fulky's having a great year.
Bad take, Fish.
Great year with the long hair.
Yeah, much better. Much better with
what
the hair.
What we not going to do He's is like talk Samson. About Fulky's haircut.
Yeah.
We'll talk about yours.
Oh, that's right. That's yeah. right.
He needs to take one out of my playbook.
John Fulkerson is Samson from the Old Testament, all right? The hair, that gives the strength. Whoa. All right? What? I'm trying okay. to pull an obscure reference.
It's okay.
Here. Samson, we'll he was known it. For the long hair. When they cut it, he lost his power. I mean, don't cut it, John Fulkerson.
I don't know if it's obscure. It's in the Bible. I mean, I don't know how obscure it is.
How many biblical references do you think we've ever had on this show? We're not almost many, at a year but, into the thing.
It's the most circulated book in the world. I mean,
very sacrilegious.
That's true. Anyways, all right. So you look at the box score from the game on Saturday. Fulkerson ended with 12, Bowden with 21, Pons with 12, Triple J with 6, Vescovi with 5. Yurosh with 4 points, Kemwa 4, Johnson 2. So an overall, a decently balanced game, I guess, a little less balanced than you normally get from Tennessee, but certainly behind the shot of Jordan Bowden, the Vols won this game. I think there's no doubt about it. If you don't have Jordan Bowden stepping up and making those shots that he did, going 7 of 11 from the field, that's going to be tough. That's a lot of points you're taking off the board there.
Yeah,
he stepped up, and we needed him to.
We would have went to overtime if not for Jordan Bowden.
Mm. Wait, what?
If you take Jordan Bowden out of the equation,
oh, if you
points.
Take his 21 points out. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Brandon's being a funny guy.
Hey, look, it's Monday morning.
You didn't catch it.
It's Monday morning.
Went over your head. Woo!
Right over
the
I'll
head.
Admit it. I'll admit it. I'm sure everybody else got it but me.
I think they did.
But anyways, okay, so this game is weird, right? Because you do look at this half, and it looked like two completely different teams. The first half looked like the same struggling Tennessee team that we've certainly seen a time or two so far just this year even, right? A team that is having trouble scoring, a team that is turning the ball over quite a bit. Turnovers obviously still ended up being a problem for the whole game. But then you come out for the second half, and it looked like a completely different team in a lot of ways. So what do you kind of make of this game in regards to how it sets up the next couple games, how it sets up this next game versus Ole Miss tomorrow? What do you make of this team? I can't tell.
This is going to be my take for the rest of the year. Don't make any assumptions from game to game. Take each game for what it is, because it's been that way with Tennessee. It's been that way in the SEC. It's been that way in college basketball as a whole. There is no rhyme or reason to teams losing. This has been the craziest basketball season I've ever seen.
Florida beat Auburn over the weekend, too.
Not beat them.
Beat them down.
Killed them.
Beat
them by like 20 points. Auburn gets up to number 4 in the country, loses 2 games this week.
Anything can happen on any different night. I think that's kind of what you're trying to say in the whole scheme of college basketball, but certainly for Tennessee. We don't know what team's going to come out. Sure, we know a couple things that are likely going to happen each game. Would like to get the turnovers down as a whole. Would like to certainly get the three-point shooting percentage up as a whole. But you're going to have games like this, right? Games where you score 21 points in one half and everything looks like it's falling apart. And then you're going to have games where you score 45 points in a half and you get really energized about the future, about what this team can actually do this season. It's just, it's weird. It's weird. And you got another tough matchup tomorrow night.
Yeah, old Kermit Davis bringing his boys to town.
9 o'clock.
And look, Ole Miss is, they're 9-8, but I still think that for any game this year for Tennessee, like they're going to be tough games. I don't think you're going to have a walk through the park for anything. Hell, even Ole Miss gave last year's team a little bit of a run for their money, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that was the game. It was at Ole Miss.
When they were throwing stuff on the court, weren't they? I believe they were at the end.
Yeah, I think
there was. Because there was a controversial, I think it was either a charge or block call.
And their coach, Kermit, had to get up on the microphone. He pulled out one of those stunts. Told everyone, hey, like, stay the hell back here. This is ridiculous. So I think any team, again, like what you said a second ago, it doesn't matter if Ole Miss is 9-8. It doesn't matter if they are, 13-4.
They've lost 5 straight games.
There's no clear front runner in the SEC right now as far as
there's
basketball.
No clear front runner in all of college basketball.
That's also true.
I mean, Gonzaga is going to be number one for a long time, just because they don't play anybody in their conference. I'm not buying them. I'm not buying what they're selling. It happens every single year. I feel like it. I mean, yeah, they're a good team. They'll probably make it to the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight. But I'm not buying Gonzaga as the best team. I mean, I guess Kansas, but I think they lost this past week too. I've never seen a season with this much parity and a team without a season without a team that's just completely dominant and is kind of head and shoulders above everybody else. But I feel like it's because there's not really
a superstar
player this year.
I totally agree.
There's not.
And
name one. Can't.
Carson Edwards, maybe?
He's in the NBA playing for the Boston Celtics.
Oh, that's right.
Anthony Edwards, I think, is who you were for Georgia.
For Georgia? Carson Edwards.
I was 100% meant Carson Edwards there. For some reason, I thought that he was still in. But you're right. He is playing with Grant Williams
on
the Celtics.
I can't tell you.
But you can't, right?
A star in the league. I mean, I can't at all. Couldn't tell you who the big name is. Who's the guy?
And I think it's better for college basketball when for college basketball as a whole, when you have a season like this where you don't know what's going to happen night in, night out, you could have any team beat anybody.
There's a guy that I know on sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine.
Cole Anthony. That's the only name I know.
Yeah, for North Carolina.
And they suck. And they suck.
Yeah. They're 8-9.
They're bad, man.
But I think that when tournament time rolls around, I think it'll be a great tournament. But I think this is what you're going to start seeing more with the NCAA and the NBA kind of changing the whole landscape of the one and done. I think this is going to be more common.
Here's your current top 10 in men's basketball right now: Gonzaga, Baylor, Duke, Auburn, Butler, Kansas, San Diego State, Oregon, Florida State, Kentucky. And then if you go a couple more after that, Louisville, West Virginia, Dayton.
Duke lost to Louisville. Auburn lost. Butler lost.
Baylor snuck by Okie State.
Kentucky lost earlier in the week to South Carolina. I mean.
So, again, whenever these new ones come out, which I guess should be tomorrow.
No, today. It'll be about 45 minutes.
It'll be a big difference. There'll be a ton of movement going around.
Guys.
Yeah. Oh my God! You have like a confession for us or something? Like,
nope.
Guys,
I got something to. I have to get off my chest.
I'm a secret Dayton, Ohio fan, and I can't keep the excitement in.
It's okay, Fish. The Flyers are good.
Are you a Dayton fan?
No.
Okay.
We get a nice tune-up game against Ole Miss.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, don't even.
And then this Saturday we go to Kansas. We just got to get hot. They got to play not hot. We'll be ranked.
If we beat Kansas?
Oh, yeah.
Fish. What if we lose to Ole Miss?
Fish.
If we lose to Ole Miss, I don't feel too good about Kansas.
If we lose to Ole Miss, we're not beating Kansas. That's for sure.
You're really going to stay on this Kansas.
I might as well.
You're going down that hill.
Right now, the ESPN Basketball Power Index, would you like to know what the percentages are?
It's got to be like less than 30.
For Kansas?
Yeah, for Kansas winning. Would anyone like to 14%. Take a guess?
14%. I'm going to say it's...
What?
No,
it's not going to be
Kansas winning.
Oh, well, 86%.
I'm going to say 64.
Okay.
I'll say 90.
91.4.
Wow.
They're giving the balls an 8.6% chance. So you're telling me there's a chance.
Nobody believes.
No. Do you believe?
No.
Me neither.
Fish does. Fish believes. He's guaranteed it
He's
three times.
He's doubled down a couple times. Tripled down most recently on the 8th, according to our stat sheet.
It's just one of those games. I've had a feeling.
It's been 12 days since you've last guaranteed.
You had a feeling about Darnell.
Hey, my official ball thing is too bad.
It's still good.
Didn't you have a feeling about Jay Hardy, too?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember if I
you
said
did.
Did
you
I say
did.
Jay Hardy, too?
You did. Wrong again.
It's the best time of year in the sports calendar, and if you've been thinking about betting on it, now's the time to sign up with MyBookie. Between football season, the NBA, NHL, and more, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action. Simply go to MyBookie.ag, the official sportsbook of Fan Run Radio, and use promo code Knoxville. Tons of ways to play and tons of ways to win. Use promo code Knoxville to double your first deposit. That's promo code Knoxville. MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid.
Okay, open wide. Yeah, I think the basketball team looks pretty good this year, too. It's going to be hard to replace Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield, though. At Knoxville Smiles, we speak your language. Cosmetic dentistry, implants, restoration, and general cleanings, we do it all at Knoxville Smiles. See for yourself by booking a free consultation today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com or by calling 539-1776. That's KnoxvilleSmiles.com, creating beautiful smiles, one relationship at a time.
Picking up a six-pack of beer on the way to the party is easy, but picking the right beer, even easier. Because with great taste, only 96 calories and 3.2 carbs, Miller Lite was brewed to be enjoyed from first to last. Miller Lite, hold true. Celebrate responsibly. 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Average analysis, 12 fluid ounces, 96 calories, 3.2 grams carbs, less than 1 gram protein, and 0 grams fat.
For over 50 years, Crown Cleaners has been providing Imperial dry cleaning service to Big Orange Country. Crown Cleaners has three locations serving West Knoxville, Kingston Pike on Bearden Hill, on North Shore Drive, and on Parkside Drive. Plus, you can save time, money, and gas with free pickup and delivery at Crown Cleaners. Visit crowncleaners.com and click on the big blue van to learn more. Crown Cleaners, a tradition of excellence.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
My backyard.
Oh, your backyard. Try telling a bear that.
I did, and this bear talked back.
Talking bear, that's rich.
No, wait, it was Smokey Bear.
Smokey?
Why didn't you say so?
I did say so.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste.
No, boy.
He told me to burn legally and responsibly, and to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
And as always, he's right. You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
Yeah, I know that now.
Thanks to me.
Actually, thanks to Smokey.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Because 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
All right, back here on the Blitz, 11:19 a.m. Remember, our phone lines are wide open right now, 865-546-8200. We are preaching freedom of speech today on the show. It doesn't matter who you want to bash. Maybe it is the local NFL team around here. I don't know. It's just a suggestion. Our phone lines are totally open.
What if they want to bash you?
I don't like that.
I mean, you just said freedom of speech.
Well, I mean, I guess.
Bash whoever you want to.
I did say that. If you want to come on and bash me, okay, well, you can. But anyways, you might not get another chance the rest of the day on these other shows coming up. It's just a fact. You might not get that chance if you want to bash. We welcome you. Phone lines open. About 40 more minutes in the show today. All right, so Weston, you brought this up a second ago, but there is a bizarre situation going on with Jay Hardy. And it's very confusing, and this all happened about 2 days ago. But essentially, Auburn, their football account, tweeted out on the 18th, so Saturday, that Jay Hardy signed with Auburn. They tweeted that out. It went out official. Then, a little while later, Jay Hardy actually went on Twitter and he replied to a tweet from Austin Price saying, I did not sign. Right? He said, I have not signed anywhere. I'm not signed yet. That's the exact quote. Jay Hardy tweeted that out to Austin Price on the 18th. So he's coming out and he's saying, I'm not signed. My recruitment's still open. And that's kind of what we've been believing, right? As Tennessee fans, we've been thinking that, hey, yes, this guy's certainly got Auburn ties, but he's saying he's not signed yet. He said that he didn't sign in the early signing period because he was playing basketball. All this kind of stuff going on right now. So we, as the Tennessee fans, and I believe that the coaching staff for Tennessee, everybody here is under the impression that he's still a potential target out there. It seems that is not the case, and it seems that Jay Hardy did sign with Auburn on December 19th, about a month ago. And I guess none of us knew it. Auburn didn't announce it until the 18th. It's all just a very, very confusing situation about, hey, who's telling the truth? Who's exaggerating the truth a little bit? What didn't go through the timeline the right way? I don't really know what to think of this besides, Brandon, I hate to steal your line here, but what you just said during the break, we might have dodged a bullet because it seems like there's so much confusion, there's so much miscommunication, there is so much manipulation that maybe we just want to take a step back and go, you know what? It seems that Tennessee is out of this. Maybe at the end of the day, that was for the best because it has been confusing. He did sign on December 19th. He said that he hadn't signed yet as of January 18th. Nobody knew that he had signed. Auburn didn't announce that he had signed. Auburn announced it on Saturday. So what are you guys' overall thoughts on this? Just about what's going on, who's potentially lying, who is potentially holding back information, and then how it all ties back to Tennessee?
I don't understand him lying. I don't understand Auburn. Like, why, if he signed then, like, I understand if he was going to sign in February waiting, but he obviously signed in January and then them waiting a month to announce. I don't know if it was like Auburn misdirection on purpose for Tennessee, because we did look like idiots following him around for a month after. I think it's a bad.
I don't think Tennessee looks bad in this situation. I think Jay Hardy, and I never want to go after a high school kid, right? Now, I don't feel like I'm going after him. I just want to provide my analysis. But to me, he has the bad look in all this. Not because he's a bad person, I don't know, but just because there's been so many twists and turns, and you were learning that he did sign in December, but he said on Saturday he didn't sign. Like, to me, Tennessee gets a pass here. For at least that's what I say. Tennessee doesn't look that bad here. They're trusting this kid. Maybe they should have done that. Maybe they shouldn't have. But to me, that's the bad look.
We, the University of Tennessee, should have went to verify his words. Because they could have went and looked at it on the 19th.
Trust but verify.
Yes. I mean, go and look. You can go on that website and look and see who.
You can.
And see who he signed with. And it would have been over. We could have put our time and resources on other kids. But we've been following him around ever since, and it's just – it doesn't make any sense. It's a really bad look on the coaches, in my opinion.
Does this shake your confidence in Jeremy Pruitt?
A little bit, yeah, like 10%.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It just – He could have done so much more, him and his assistants, to just verify one simple little thing. I would like to know how much time, resources, and money has been put to a kid who already signed. And there's been rumors for months that this kid is a liar, a habitual liar. He's gave us the runaround. He's gave Auburn the runaround, other teams. So, I mean, they should have known to verify. So,
I agree. Like, I totally think they had every ability to do so. I don't really know if for me it's a knock on Pruitt, but I think it is very much so a learning opportunity. You got to find this out at some point that, hey, Maybe not always can you trust these kids, right? Maybe you can't always trust what you're seeing. You got to go and verify it for yourself. The confusing thing to me is, like, why did the Auburn football account wait until Saturday to tweet it out? Like, they were forced to, basically, after all this came out. If he had signed in December, why wouldn't they just announce it with all the rest of their signees?
I think it's just a case of a guy. It's just 18-year-old kids, man.
Sure.
That's what just they do.
Changing their mind, want to run around.
They change their mind. They flip back and forth, do these recruitment processes. There's a lot of pressure on them. And then at the same time, like, you got to think, like, we know, like, the dirty dealings that we suspect they go behind closed doors. But, like, all these different visits that they want to go on, man, it's like a little vacation. Like, you know, and it's hard for, you know, kids that age to man up and just be like, you know, I chose this school. They always feel like, you know, they're probably going to hurt another team's feelings, coach's feelings that they've got a relationship with. This is 18-year-old kids, man.
So I'm reading this tweet
out.
Not
surprised.
And I absolutely agree with you, Chance. I'm reading this tweet out, and again, this is from Austin Price with VolQuest. But so basically, a guy named Brian Stoltz, who is the editor for the Auburn Wire for USA Today, he tweeted out this. In summary, one, Jay Hardy sent his letter of intent to Auburn on December 18th. Two, Tennessee kept recruiting him for another month. Three, Vols coaches could have spent 5 seconds and found out that Hardy had signed with Auburn. They either didn't or they were unaware that they could. Now, here's what Price said in response. Tennessee checked the said website at midnight on the final day of the early signing period and nothing was there, whereas Darnell Washington and Zach Evans to UGA already was. At some point, you take a kid at his word, which amounted to nothing, as the charade continued with, I haven't signed yet today. So it does seem like Tennessee actually might have gone and done their research for it. That on the final day of the early signing period, on the 18th, they checked. Nothing was there. They had the other, the things to Georgia, both of those guys to Georgia, that was there, even though it hadn't been announced yet. But maybe Tennessee actually did go and do their research. Maybe there was something in the system that got totally messed up. I don't know. I mean, these are just reports, but one way or another, like, this is just a weird situation.
Yeah, I mean, it would have been nice to get him. I mean, a player of that caliber, but I don't know. I'm ready to move on.
Sure.
Jay Hardy. Who needs him?
Yeah, I am too.
Snap and clear.
Hey.
I just hope Jeremy Pruitt's not.
No butchisms.
You ain't heard that one in a while.
No butchisms.
Just hope Jeremy Pruitt's not down there trying to recruit Bo Nix or something now.
Oh, Fish, come on. He's not an idiot.
Bo Nix? What are you talking about?
He's not an idiot.
He's recruiting players that have already signed.
Oh.
Oh, come on, Fish.
Really? This is your stance?
I don't like this.
You're really having a tough
show.
I don't
like this.
You're going to be
in.
You're
first,
having a
first
tough show today.
First,
Fish.
You're anti-Fulky with the long hair.
I'm not anti-Fulky. I like Fulky.
I said anti-Fulky with long hair. You're saying he should shave you. Terrible take.
No, I'm anti-Fulky's hair. I'm not anti-Fulky the man with long hair.
Now you're anti-Pruitt, saying he's just a bumbling idiot out here.
It's pretty much what you just said.
Who doesn't know how to use the internet?
Who doesn't
take
know?
It back, Fish.
I'm just saying the concerns are here. January 20th.
Oh, you really gonna go into the off season like this?
Get out of here! I do not think that Tennessee's in a bad light here. But no, I think this was a crazy recruitment from a kid who like Chance said,
kids,
just
man,
18-year-old kid.
Flipping take it
back and forth.
I won't do it.
I won't make you because apparently this show's all about freedom of speech.
Hey, breaking news, right off the bat.
What is
snowing outside?
Like, really snowing or just like it?
Just a couple flurries.
So nothing,
if you want, your
nothing
yeah.
to even get excited about.
I mean, I'm kind of excited. I like the snow.
But nothing's going to come of this.
Your official weather report for 11:33 a.m. is that it's cloudy and there's a little bit of snow. And it's cold. There you go. That's all you need to know.
It is cold. And if you say there's a little bit of snow, I guess there is. I didn't go check. I'd take your word for it.
26 frigid degrees outside. Not fun.
Go look, trust, but verify.
Oh, my God.
Fish, turn your mic off. Go see. Go verify.
Good timing, Fish. That was a good one.
All right. He's headed
it's
out
probably
the door.
Like little,
lock it.
Little
lock
droplets
it.
Of
Someone
snow.
Lock it right now.
You can't lock the door. You,
there's yeah. a lock right there. What are you
he
talking
about?
He
just come through the other door.
There's no lock on that one. All right, he's on his way back in. He closes the door, sitting down, putting the headphones on, play-by-play. Here we go.
I could count the number of snowflakes.
Yeah. It's not really snow.
Is there snow coming from the sky?
Yes.
Rick's from Texas, though, so I guess like you didn't see a lot of snow growing up.
Any snow is big snow, I'll tell you that.
When I left this morning from home, a little bit north of here, it was snowing a lot harder than that.
Was it snowing when you woke up? Because my
what
Alexa,
are we doing?
Look, my Alexa, all right, I think is taking shots in the middle of the night. Like my Alexa wakes
That's
up drunk
Rick
every
it.
Morning. It never gets the weather right.
What,
I don't know.
You doing a little Michael Jackson right here?
No, I got one black glove on, all right?
Obviously,
I got one black glove.
We can see it, and you can see it if you're watching the Periscope or the Facebook feed. But it's just the way you saw it in his eyes. Was it snowing when you woke up? Like, he was just so intrigued about if it was snowing when Fish woke up.
I have a problem to figure out, and that is my Alexa has gone rogue.
No.
I got to figure it out.
She pulled a JG.
Yeah. She's doing it all the time now. I'm getting very upset.
Got to bench.
Me and my girl Alexa, we've had a great relationship.
You had to play in the wrong song.
She never tells me the right weather.
You had to put her on the bench, pull out Google Assistant or whatever.
The Google Home.
Yeah.
Do you have a Google Home
I
as well?
I will not cheat with Siri, though. I don't like Siri.
Do you have
Siri
both?
Can stay
you just
away.
Like Pruitt.
Until you drop the Google Home and have to play Alexa again?
Yeah. Yeah.
Till the Google Home
Look, I'm not
snaps
a, I'm not
its
a
neck.
Google man.
How many devices
Scorpions
do you have?
Against Mississippi State?
A lot.
You got the Google Home and
no,
the Alexa?
I don't have Google. I don't. I just do the Alexa.
Okay.
But I have Alexa set up in both our living room and my bedroom.
But he changed its name to Echo. He may have to go back to Echo.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, we did do that. We did it. Look, it's all a process. All
right? Yeah, that was weird when I was at you guys' house that you were saying, "Hey, Echo." That was weird.
I've thought about this through. Though,
I have
right?
an Echo as well, but it's Hey Alexa.
I don't want to because look, I have an Alexa. Brandon has an Alexa, and we have one in the living room.
Oh,
so
they all start.
If you say it one time, they all go off. And so I was like, "All right, we gotta figure something out here."
Okay.
So we changed the living room.
That makes sense. Then.
And also, you got the TV on most of the time. The word Alexa comes up a lot, and then it's annoying. Anyways, all right, hey.
That never happens with my Alexa.
Oh. You must not watch. Look, when I'm watching wrestling, when
oh,
Alexa,
is that like
there's a
like...
there's a girl named Alexa Bliss.
Oh, okay.
And you gotta unplug it. It is so annoying. Anyways.
Now I understand.
Switching from one combat sport to the other. Saturday night, it was a big night. UFC 246. Did you guys watch this fight? It wasn't a lot to watch, but did you watch it?
I did watch it.
All $80.40 worth.
Wow.
Dang,
yeah.
You paid for
you
it?
You paid.
I was under the impression, you know, that you? The ESPN for $5, you could buy it for $5 and, you know, cancel it after a month. You have to pay that full year.
So you're on the hook for ESPN Plus now
for a year?
A year.
Hey, yeah.
Let us go ahead and get that. Let us get that login.
Yeah. Yeah, Fish.
Sharon
help us
caring.
Out.
You already got hit with it.
I was thinking it will probably come in handy for other fights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, ESPN Plus is very good. Hell, wasn't there a Tennessee game on ESPN Plus earlier this
yeah.
year?
You going to help us out, Fish? You going to hook us up?
Yeah. Get some Peyton's Place. And
oh. Uh-oh. We gotta binge. We gotta binge Peyton's Place.
I'm not condoning, you know, whatever I'm gonna allude to. But you're a very young man. You tell me you couldn't find the fight without.
I looked.
Paying $80 for
it. I looked. Usually it's a lot easier than it was. I couldn't do it.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, it was like 5 minutes.
I didn't expect that from
it.
Like the Bear
that's
or Russell. Like you really paid for the fight. Like
okay,
yeah, how else do you get it?
You know, like
you know, from somebody
in the 21st century.
From a boomer.
So. We have a thing called Reddit now, and Reddit is great.
Reddit is great.
Best invention.
I got back from the WWE house show, and I was kind of crunched for time.
I was just about to say, I bet it was you were just rushed.
And I was like, okay, if I don't get it somehow, I'm going to miss it.
And you would have, because it was very quick.
Although it does fit into one Twitter video. So, yeah. I mean, that was wild. Like, first off, it had a huge big fight feel to it, and rightfully so. Cowboy comes out, and when McGregor came out especially, it was just like, holy cow. Like, this is something right here. Conor McGregor's back. And when Conor's back, it makes just earthquakes throughout the sports world. He took over the internet that night, absolutely mauled and murdered Donald Cowboy Cerrone.
Hitting him with a little shoulder action. Bah, bah.
I've never seen that before. In all the time that I've watched UFC, I've never seen that. Conor was able to pin one arm in kind of a chicken wing form, also pinning the other arm backwards. Cowboy was defenseless. He couldn't do anything. And then you just see one, two, three, four, just these devastating shoulder strikes.
You could hear them.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I've never seen it.
That would hurt. Would you stop?
There was three.
Yeah.
We know how many there were. Please don't do that. That hurt my ears. I was looking around. What is going on?
And then Cowboy tried to hit him with a kick, and then Conor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that high kick by Conor was nasty. And right when Cerrone dropped, it was over. Old Herb Dean, he had to stop it. Now, look, I will say, I got a lot of flack on Twitter after the fight. A lot of flack.
You were standing for Cowboy.
Absolutely, I was standing for Cowboy.
I don't like this one glove look you got going on. It's throwing me off.
You just got to deal with it, okay?
I don't think so.
I am the architect. The messiah of Monday nights. Anyways. Sorry. A wrestling reference. Whatever. Anyways. So, I think that there's a lot to talk about in the world of UFC with this fight in particular. Yes, Conor is back 100%. He's back in the UFC. He's back at a high level of competition. He's back in the title hunt. I would love to see a Masvidal fight next. Maybe, you know, I don't think Khabib will be for a while. But there's a bunch of places that he can go. But I will say, right, I was saying on Twitter that I wasn't ready to officially call his return to the octagon complete. Right, because there's a lot of things that I think you gotta think about when Conor fights. You look at the Khabib fight, right? And man, the two biggest question marks coming out of that fight was his grappling ability and his stamina. He just said in an interview last week that he was pretty much drunk the entire week leading up to the Khabib fight. Now for this one, now that question is answered, right? He came to this fight focused. He came to it with new moves. The money was not in the talks beforehand. This was a different Conor McGregor where he said, you know what, for this time, I'm going to let my fighting do the talking. But on the other hand, I did think we were a little bit robbed because I think there's still a lot more that we need to see from Conor in terms of is he going to get back up to that high level of competition. Khabib murdered him on the ground. Conor didn't have any kind of grappling ability, and supposedly he's been working with a new trainer to figure out grappling. We didn't get a chance to see any of that. Conor won with his strikes, which was never a question during his absence from the UFC. His strikes at no point in his career were people saying, man, he's really got to get better at striking in order to come back. Nobody was saying that. If anything, everyone was saying he's going to win this fight because of his striking, which he did. I still think there's a lot of question marks around Conor's return. You got to see where he is grappling. You got to see where his stamina. He was in the championship round, maybe the third or fourth round of the Khabib fight, and he just looked dead. He couldn't stop one of Khabib's takedowns to save his life. So I think there is, yes, he is back on surface level. He's back in the octagon, and it is amazing for the UFC. It is awesome to see. He's back. He's going to be in title contention soon. But in terms of almost having a well over a year-long absence, his retirement a part of that, there's still a ton of question marks that we got to see from Conor McGregor that I just don't think we got the opportunity to see because he did win in such a devastating early fashion.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they shoehorned him into the 170 championship against Usman. I think that's a better matchup for him than Masvidal.
Oh, I think Masvidal is better than him right now.
Yeah.
And especially because we haven't seen whatever supposed upgrades he has to his game. If he comes back and he can be a grappling maniac, then, yeah, he'd certainly give Masvidal a run for his money. But I agree with you. I think maybe going back up to 170 for a little while, maybe that is a good idea.
Yeah, the Usman fight is intriguing. The Masvidal fight, that would sell a lot of tickets. I would worry about
the talk coming into that fight would be unreal.
Yeah, I think Connor would be the underdog against Masvidal.
He would. I think he would. Slight underdog. But you'd have a lot of the betting public still betting on Connor as well. But he'd be a slight underdog.
You know, when he takes it serious and, you know, he gets
He's one of the best.
Yeah, he has a chance against anybody. And it would be so nice to see him, you know, walk off and retire with a belt or, yeah, two belts.
So
the champ.
Champ champ. So I
the
think
champ champ.
People are also saying that that Colby Covington could also be a potential fight coming up. Bad idea in my head. Covington, I think, is the second best pound for pound behind Khabib. Connor's definitely got a long an uphill climb ahead of him, but man, like, if we've seen anything from Conor McGregor, it's that don't bet against him, right? Even in the Khabib fight, man, like, you have no idea what he's going to come back looking like after that. I can't imagine that he would get embarrassed that badly and then not be able to come back and have such an improved grappling game, takedown defense, just an overall ground game to add something into how good he is and how precise he is at his striking. I like when we get to talk about UFC. I wish it happened more. I love the UFC. I love that Connor's back. I was pulling hard for Cowboy. I had my Cowboy hat on.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
I saw you.
But man, I do love Connor. How can you not? In my opinion, second greatest athlete with a microphone in his hand. I still give the edge to The Rock. He was magnificent. Hey, we have about how much more time? About how much more time? What time?
About 10 minutes.
Yeah.
About 10 minutes.
Last segment coming up.
We got to catch a quick break. Last segment of the Blitz coming up next. All right, here we go. Final segment of the Blitz here today on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Let's see. We got an if you haven't heard. We got a funniest thing of the weekend. We got a whole potluck for you. As we end the show here today, would anyone like to start us off? Anybody had any big thing they saw over the weekend?
I'll start us off.
All
right. I'll jump right in here.
There we go.
Funniest thing from the sports weekend for me, this was tweeted out by Roger Gonzalez, CBS. This was overseas in a Barcelona Delfin football match, soccer match. And the tweet reads, when you kiss your side chick and realize your marriage is over because your own camera.
I actually
retweeted it out. It is the most cringeworthy and funniest thing at the same time because he kisses this woman, realizes he's on national TV, and then he's like, oh, bleep. And then he's just uncomfortable. He's sitting there like, oh, what did I just do? I got caught. She's looking like, oh, my God, we just got caught. It was very uncomfortable for all. I tweeted it out, I think, this morning or last night, but it is very good. Like I said, it is tweeted out by Roger Gonzalez. That's at R. Gonzalez, CBS.
I'm watching this live.
It's so
I
funny.
Love how they always, like, remove their arm. Like,
yeah,
that's, like
that's
that, going to help.
Like, that's gonna,
you might as well just go
you might
all
as well
in
own it at
just
that point.
Act like it wasn't you.
Yeah, I was going to say, at that point, you just stay, like, within the makeout zone and just hopefully don't show your face and just stay that way. Then
you're caught if you move your hand.
And then the camera bounces off of you.
He's,
yeah.
He's terrified.
Yeah, no, he
oh
was
my
terrified.
God. Oh, you can see it when the moment hits, and he's just, oh.
Oh, let me look at my phone. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see
wow,
here.
Wow, that is pretty good.
It was like Larry David going to the Dodgers game.
Was that the most recent episode?
Yeah.
Hey,
don't ruin it.
The
I don't know.
Did you guys see
this? Was the one we watched last night. I don't know if it's recent or not.
We did see the most recent. I think we went back and watched another one.
Dodger
did you
games
guys see
sounds
the Chiefs fan up in the box trying to like give a high five to someone? I don't know.
Missed that one.
I saw this video, but it was basically, it looked like a 30-year-old dude giving a high five for the first time in his whole life. Like, he wasn't really sure how to do it. He kind of put it up, and then he took it back, and he drew it back very quickly. And then with the other hand, went in for a high five versus someone else.
Drew that one back, too.
It was so awkward.
I guess my funniest thing of the weekend is, I'll pose a question to you all. Who is more cringeworthy, Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend or his brother?
I didn't see anything on his brother.
What was that?
He makes these TikTok videos, and he made one in a Chiefs jersey, and oh, God. Oh, wow. Let me see if I can pull this up.
Well, having not seen his brother, I'll go with his girlfriend. She is very beautiful, but she's a little cuckoo.
I don't think. I think everybody's coming at his girlfriend a little too hard. She's just rooting for, you know, her boyfriend, fiance.
You gotta go that hard though.
I don't know. She's a little scary.
Dude, if you were dating somebody that was going to the Super Bowl, or that was any woman that's dating an NFL quarterback like that, all that fame, all that money,
right,
going to Super Bowl.
She knows what's coming.
You're going to act like that because you know why? You have zero bleeps to give.
Yeah, she knows her life.
You don't see
Ashley Manning out here acting like that.
And she's vanilla. She doesn't have the spunk that Pat Mahomes
is going.
Look, chance is turning me. Chance is turning me.
And who knows if Ashley Manning didn't act like that whenever Peyton first got to the league. Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, social media then. Like, there wasn't videos of Ashley Manning when Peyton first got to the league. And you're talking about, like, this is after she's had a family, too. Like, I'm sure Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend won't be going as wild once they're married and she has a family as well. I mean, she's just having fun. She's living her best life. And I hated that people are going after her. It's really kind of, it's stupid.
You don't see Giselle Bündchen doing this,
She's
Chance?
Also supermodel of the world. You know,
she's already famous.
Of the last, yeah, she has more money than Tom
Brady.
You
don't see Danica Patrick doing this.
And Tom Brady's wife did go off to the media and said that he couldn't catch everything. Remember when they lost that one Super Bowl?
She had a very big rant. He can't throw it and catch it.
Who else did you name?
Danica Patrick.
Nah, Danica probably would have if Aaron Rodgers would have went to the Super Bowl.
She's pretty dry.
I think Patrick Mahomes' girlfriend has a lot of personality.
Is she?
Danica. Oh, she's very dry.
Anyway, Rick.
You had to go back-to-back crickets on that one, rightfully so. Okay, my funniest thing of the weekend I saw was people who believed that this Cade May's Twitter account was real. Wow!
What happened there? I don't even know what happened.
Have you not seen this Twitter account?
I've not.
Go look up at @Cade_Mays. Now, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But this account was created January 2020, has 191 followers, and the tweets are wild.
Well, Cade_Mays has 20.6 thousand followers.
This must be Cade like _ or a _ or something like that. But
there's a fake account out there.
So
I can't remember what it is.
I'm trying to find some of these. We come in Georgia. We want all the smoke. Can't trust you boys no more. Some fake loyalty down there in Athens. Yes, I own a tractor. Deal with it. And no, Tennessee didn't pay for it. Like that tweet alone right there got 1,000 likes. People are freaking out in the comment section. Just like, let's go! Oh my God! We're going to the Super Bowl! Like, people, come on!
Who did that?
You need to know better. This
Who
is not a real
mind?
Account. This is fake.
So they what was the tweet that he tweeted out? I found the account.
There's a lot of them, but the one that I just read was from the 17th. We come in Georgia, can't trust you boys no more. Some fake loyalty down there in Athens. Yeah, I own a tractor. Deal with it. What a line right there. Deal with it.
That's a hell of a line, right?
And so this Twitter
account. I'm a tractor. You deal with it.
Like,
what? Deal with what?
The tractor.
Yeah.
What am I dealing with? You plow in your fields? I mean, like, what the hell?
Who over there is coming up? Hey, you got a tractor over there?
Yeah.
That you can't. You can't have a tractor. I got a tractor. Deal with it. It's a John Deere. It's a big green tractor. I'll take you on a ride.
Nothing runs like a deer.
Did anyone see the big moment last night?
No.
Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, face to face at the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
He was rooting for her backstage. She was rooting for him.
Good for them.
I'm rooting for them.
Good for them. Me too. Hey.
Make it happen. This is what America needs.
Yeah. America also needs
Bachelor Tuesday
tonight.
Tomorrow.
Let's go! We're on the same page. That does it. We'll see you tomorrow. Bachelor tonight. Let's go.